Here we are again. Christmas Eve, lessons and carols. Pretty much the same every year. We have different carols that we alter in and out, but Christmas Eve, 10:45, service just about over. Still going to lower the lights and sing Silent Night. Same every year. That's good. With all this change in our world this year, it's good that we have one last refuge here in our church this night. I'm talking about the world and politics, the economy, and the outlandish stories of thievery and corruption that we've heard so much of these last few months. It's good to know that some things just never change, or at least they shouldn't. We got one last refuge right here, right in God's arms, on the night before we celebrate the birth of Christ. Yeah, we all know what's going to happen. Scripture readings, Christmas carols, prayers, and then Silent Night. A candle. For a few minutes, everything's the same as it always has been ever since we were little kids. The problems are elsewhere, outside of this place. We are in the presence of God, and He is welcoming us. Maybe that's why we like Christmas so much. It takes us back. When I'm singing the Christmas carols, I'm thinking about the 1960s and 1970s when I was a little boy. My mom's thinking about the 1930s. What year of history do you go back to at Christmas time? You know, not long from now, our kids are going to think that these are the good old days, aren't they? I'm not sure I want to be around then when they say, things were much better back when we were kids. We like some things to stay the same, and that's what I like about Christmas. But it's not true in the first Christmas, the very first Christmas. Everything was changing. Just listen to a few of the things that changed, the firsts that happened that night. It was the first time a woman gave birth to a child without a man being involved in any way, the virgin birth. The first prophecy of the Bible was fulfilled that the seed of Eve would come to defeat the seed of Satan. It was the first time the angels came to earth to sing at someone's birth. The first time that God came to visit us in human form and remain longer than just to have a conversation with someone. I'm thinking about like the Old Testament times where the three visitors came to Abraham, and the Bible says that one was the Lord, apart from those times. It was the first time God fulfilled the prophecy that a shoot would rise up from the stump of Jesse. That is, the splendor of the nation that was seen under Kings David and Solomon was restored. After 500 years of foreign domination, the people were ready for that. The only problem was, it was going to be a different kind of splendor than money and power and the expansion of territory. It was the first time that someone was born who was capable of resisting temptation that leads us all into spiritual corruption. It was the first time that someone was born of whom God could say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It was the first time that someone lived who could challenge death and win and have the ability to fall prey to death and overcome it by their own power and rise again and then go ahead to share that life, that second life, with the rest of humanity. It was the first time that a king was born who never had to pass his crown on to a successor. And I'm sure you could think of lots of other firsts that came with the birth of Jesus Christ. We like Christmas to stay the same, but Christmas really changed the world. Most of all, it changed the way that God looks at the world. The triune God has always loved his creation. The Bible is the story of God's love affair with the human race. Most of the time, it's rather one-sided. God's doing all the loving, and we're doing all the running away, getting away from God as far as we can. He loves us, but we don't return that love in faithfulness and devotion. For several millennia, God tried to show us how much better it would be if we committed our way to him and served him instead of the false gods and the selfish pursuits that we had. But we would not listen. He sent us mighty prophets, mighty judges, mighty kings. And still we went our own way. Christmas is about the time that God visited us personally. You know, there's much fascination in Hollywood with visitors from other places like outer space. Star Wars, Star Trek, alien invasions and visitations. You can go to Roswell, New Mexico and spend a whole weekend touring sites of alien landings and appearances. Some people who doubt evolution even think that we're here because aliens planted us on this planet long ago. But Christians know the reason why we are here. God created us. And what's more, because we got ourselves in trouble with sin, God visited us. We've all contributed in little ways to that sin. But thank goodness that the Word of God became human flesh and dwelled among us. Now, there are some things that we wish we could change about Christmas, right? The commercialism, the taking over, the trying to sell everything using the name and all the songs and the spirit of Christmas, the hype, the traffic. I see little magnet stickers on the backs of cars that say, "Keep Christ in Christmas." And I'm a little puzzled, because it makes me think that you can't really take Christ out of Christmas. For when you do that, you don't have Christmas anymore. You can't have the Christ Mass without Christ. One can't change the fact that God once became one of us in order to save us. All you can do is cover it over. All you can do is forget about it, try to distract people away from that fact. But there is no Christmas without Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one that God promised to send us. And it really does make great science fiction to consider what really happened on that first Christmas. The creator of the universe stepped inside his creation. The womb of Mary contained the uncontainable. And then, in that birthing cry, the world would never be the same. God was now one of us. He had genetic code like we do, and would never go back to being God again without the humanity part of it all. Jesus was born a human like us, and he will always remain one of us from now forever. But the visit of the supernatural is not complete until we visit the tree of the cross. That is, the wood from a tree fashioned into a cross on which the Son of God was affixed with nails. When the Son of God was crucified, the incarnation reached its purpose and its glory. It brought glory for the Son of God to serve human beings, gifting us with forgiveness and life. This fact also can never be changed. It can only be forgotten. It can only have its attention taken away from somewhere else. But it will always remain that God died for all people. Now, I don't know where we'll be next year. Who knows? What will our country look like? Our world? Our economy? Our way of life? What will it be like? No one can tell. No one could tell what was going to happen this year. But one thing will be the same. Christmas will still be Christmas. And what's important for us is that we be a part of Christmas ourselves, to remember and celebrate the fact that Emmanuel, God with us, came to earth. And he remains with us in human form, in good intent for all of us, and in his ministry to us through the church, in word and sacrament, he continues to visit us, hidden, yes, but real nonetheless. Belonging to him means remaining with his commandments, his forgiveness, and his mission. But there is one big change that remains for us. We shall, one day, leave this place. We shall go to be with him. But until then, we continue on. Christmas after Christmas. His people, his church, his brothers and sisters, his family, all who look to him, all who put their future in his hands and trust that he has good in store for us. For 1,000 times in history, a baby has become a king. But only once in history did a king become a baby. Our King, Jesus. In his name, at his birth, amen.